Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Among the major issues in the federal trials in Nevada against gunmen protesters who allegedly turned sympathetic toward ranchers fed up with the federal regulators is the federal seizing of citizen property, an awesome power not to be taken lightly, and they're certainly not taking it lightly out in Nevada, as President Trump seems to take federal power over civilians pretty lightly right here in this meeting with sheriffs at the White House last week.
We've got a state senator in Texas that was talking about introducing legislation to require conviction before we could receive that forfeiture money.
Can you believe that?
And I told him that the cartel would build a monument to him in Mexico if he could get that legislation.
Who's the state senator? Do you want to give his name? We'll destroy his career.
Destroying a Texas state senator's career over his efforts to curtail the ability of law enforcement to seize money, cars, and properties suspected of being used in crimes? Asset forfeiture is a critical tool in law enforcement's fight against drug dealers, while lawmakers with more libertarian leanings argue that allowing police to seize suspects' property before they've been convicted of a crime has led to widespread property rights violations nationwide. Maurice Chamat is a reporter at the Marshall Project.
It's yet another of these sort of criminal justice issues that scramble sort of what we thought we knew about the divide between left and right and even divide sort of within the right. So within this big picture, it's one of these tools that law enforcement used that for decades, you know, since the Reagan administration was just kind of a thing police did. No one talked much about it. Even the term asset forfeiture sounds kind of bureaucratic and boring.
They were for it, though, as I recall.
They were.
The Reagan administration was really proud of all the asset forfeiture.
Absolutely.
They
and of course, you know, you can imagine that image of the police proudly standing with the drug dealer's
right.
mansion and his car and his
boats.
Jewelry, his boats. These were all – there was sort of a reasonable kind of narrative you could put behind this and say this is a way that we help fight bad guys. But over time –
it was deterrence. Part of it was punishment, but it was also deterrence. Don't mess with this because this really sort of got them where they hurt.
Absolutely. The idea is not only will you go to prison, but all of the things that you kind of worked hard to build, the things your family enjoys, et cetera, could be taken by law enforcement. And, of course, it was beneficial to law enforcement because that money often went back into their budgets and kind of helped out even as they faced, you know, budget crises and that sort of thing.
But libertarians aren't crazy to say that the government, you know, has no right to come in and take my house if I haven't been convicted of a crime, right?
Right. And a lot of the debate often centers around, you know, sort of what happens in that initial moment when they stop you on the street or they knock on your door and what they can take then and then how long it sort of takes you to prove that it's really yours and that it wasn't being used for drug dealing and to kind of get it back.
And stop and frisk, for instance, has an asset forfeiture element to it, and that got in trouble with the courts.
Right, exactly. So there's been just a series of incidents where, you know, judges have come in and said, well, wait a minute, you know, this – it's not even that the person has to be dealing drugs. It just has to be their property was used. So there was a famous example of a man whose hotel was being used for drug dealing by some of the guests, and the police tried to take the hotel from him.
Now, when Trump, though, says, who is the state senator? Do you want to give his name? We'll destroy his career. He's not talking about a drug dealer or anyone who's been convicted of anything. He's talking about a civilian lawmaker who suggests a policy that's opposed to this idea. I mean, that goes way beyond anything we've been talking about here.
Absolutely. It's a very – and it's such a sort of small, strange issue for this to come up over, right? I mean, it's this kind of particular criminal justice area. And you can just sort of see that Trump in this moment kind of reacted. He heard this story. It sounded really terrible to him that, you know, police officers would no longer be able to take drug dealers' cars and houses. And he suddenly said, well, that must mean this state senator is doing something awful, so I'm going to sort of hit right back at him.
And let's just give a generous view of Trump. He's, you know, mouth off.
Or he's kidding.
Making
yeah.
a joke.
Everyone
laughed in the room. But on the other hand, this is the kind of thing King George said.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it made a lot of people nervous. I think it's an area where you can see that even libertarians, people, sort of conservatives who are distrustful of big government, now that the man that they often supported is the government, you're going to start to see a little, I think, more cracks and wrinkles in the sort of political picture.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Sure.
You may not be prepared to even answer this question. Has any property been seized of Trump's?
I've never
over the
heard
course
of an example
of his career?
I've never heard of an example. You know, when I was reporting this, one advocate who wanted to reform the asset forfeiture situation said, well, you know, if someone was dealing drugs out of Mar-a-Lago, the police could try to take it. And obviously that's never happened, and there's no evidence that anything like that has ever happened to Trump. But it's that kind of example. And you could imagine that he knows people, you know, that he knows people who have, if not lost their property, at least had a tough fight with prosecutors and law enforcement over their property. And so I'm really curious to see kind of going forward when Trump starts to kind of hear that narrative and that set of facts, how it sort of impacts his rhetoric and how he views the issue. I think that it's still an open book. You know, his first inclination was to kind of dive right towards the law enforcement perspective, but then he's going to see that
destroying the senator's career.
Exactly, it's very dramatic.
It's beyond the law enforcement perspective.
Absolutely, and we can't sort of normalize that sort of rhetoric.
No. But okay, so have the courts ruled on asset forfeiture? Has the Supreme Court set something down? Because he's talking about legislation here. It sounds like this is an unresolved matter.
It's unresolved. I mean, various courts have made sort of small chipping away at the ability of police to do this. But there's kind of a big, broad range of laws across the country. A big part of it, though, is that the DOJ under Jeff Sessions has a lot of power in terms of kind of setting policy from the top on this program, because a lot of local jurisdictions sort of work with the DOJ on asset forfeiture. So there is a big area where the federal government could kind of set course one way.
And who would file a lawsuit? El Chapo, right?
Right, exactly.
And he's not going to do it. So,
the ACLU and a lot of sort of property, you know, groups that care about property rights, even sort of libertarian groups, have been sort of out front on this issue. So, right. I would see them getting involved.
Maurice Chamas is a reporter at the Marshall Project.